February 2nd, 2008. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. That was some great new stuff I just got turned on to. Dark Bubbles by Tobacco. And before that, John Coltrane with CTA. Now some now.
Watching before our teeth, kissing on an apple tree, putting your mouth around plugs, covered in chewing gum, Popsy on toast, I've got a rose on my nose, being sensible without any rivers, umbilical ignorance. Coming without an answer. 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 Coming without an answer.
Everybody, welcome to February 2nd, 2008, Watt from Pedro Show. We're at the Love Grotto here on the Pleasure Point with Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Coming without an answer by now. January 22nd of last month, or would it be the 22nd of last month? Anyway, I did an interview on the phone with Justin Patton of the band Now on the telephone.
Yeah.
So I want to know, I don't really know a lot about it, so can you tell me how, it's been around a while, right?
Yeah, 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Now, you're the meister behind it, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that, yeah.
The Now Meister.
Yeah.
And you started it 10 years ago. Now, you live in London?
Yeah.
And the band started in London?
Yeah, well, it was more like an idea I had, because I was playing drums in a couple of groups in the late 90s, and before that I was singing, and just started writing songs again, and wanted to get a group together, recorded demos, played it to some friends who I was jamming with, and then we got to the live group together out of that, and then we started rehearsing in January or February 99, started playing live in that summer.
You mean there was a band to like make those first songs and then the band to do gigs?
No, I did the first songs as a demo myself.
Oh, and you played everything?
Yeah, and a
so you needed a band to make it possible to do it live.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to...
That's kind of like with that other cat... her boss, Ian, He told me
the Go Team.
Yeah, he told me he made a band, bunch of songs, and then needed a band. He got like gig offer.
Right. I think I vaguely remember telling me that. Yeah, that's right.
Which is kind of different than other folks. You know, they get a band first, and then they jam around and get some tunes together. You cats did it the other way, where you get the tunes together, then you find a band.
I don't know about him, but I'd been in band since school. So I'd done a lot of that, getting together with friends and my brother and school friends and stuff like that, and playing and making a group like that.
And you were tired of that, right?
The thing that I was being bossy in, or something, I don't know. You know, that was my songs or something.
Ah, you wanted to more realize something yourself.
Yeah.
And not have to compromise by dreaming by committee.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, okay, one, two. One, two. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Get going again. Okay, so say that again there. You started in school with bands and stuff.
Yeah, jamming around with friends and my brother. And there was a group where there was three or four singers and songwriters, and it just got difficult negotiating who was going to do what in a short set. The pub venues at the time were allowing you to do.
Oh, right. Like a little set, and only so many songs are going to get done.
Yeah.
You're going to have to divvy it up between the cats and the band.
Some of our songs were quite long back then as well, so we'd have to work around that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you get into music with your brother? Is he older?
Yeah, he's older than me, 2 years older. Yeah.
So did he, like, make you play the drums?
No, I was singing and programming a drum machine in our first group.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
that's the first thing you played was drum programming.
Drum programming, yeah. And then I switched to bass.
That's much different than when I was a boy.
Yeah.
Times have changed.
Yeah. I couldn't play anything until the bass player left.
And then you went to bass.
Yeah.
Well, believe me, I think programming a drum machine is an art in itself. I can't do it too well.
I've started doing it again recently, and it's after 10 years, more than 10 years, and it's really doing my head in. But we're gonna look for a drummer soon anyway.
Okay. So now you got this batch of songs, you get a band together, and you do the first gig, what, like 98 or something?
That was June 99.
Mm. 99. And,
yeah.
And you come up with this name now?
Yeah, I'd had that name for a year before. Yeah, we did the gig. It was pretty good, actually, I think. It's the only gig I don't have a recording of, so I can't be sure, but I like to think it was all right.
You mean of all your gigs, you have recordings of all of them except one?
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's happened. I don't have hardly any of mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially them early ones, but maybe that's kind of good.
Oh yeah, it's funny. It's so funny to listen to them. And a lot of them are really different anyway, with different members. And
like, yeah, I was going to get to that. Because that first version, the one that you first put together, how long does that last?
Which one?
This first
one. Lineup,
yeah.
About not a year. I think the bass player left. He didn't really want to do music. He was just helping me out. He can play, but he didn't really want to do it. I'd say about a year or two. Yeah, but then people didn't so much as leave as join, and the band just got bigger until there was seven or eight of us.
And what were you playing at this time? Since you played everything for the songs, what'd you do live?
live, I played the guitar and sometimes bass.
Ah, so you switch off.
We've always changed around a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, did you release those songs as a record?
No. No, that our first album came out in 2006. Although there were some songs on that album that we'd been playing since the beginning.
Okay.
Or near the beginning, anyway.
Does anybody in the current band go back to them days?
No. Okay. No, the oldest member goes
back. Well, probably you. You probably go back to them days.
Yeah, maybe. The oldest member is Angela, who's played since 2004. Although Barry, who plays synth with us, has been around since the beginning and has kind of jammed with us. And
what, like in and out?
Yeah, and not in and out, just one-off jams. Or he's always done the website and the kind of that kind of thing. But then after some time, he said, "I think I should join now." And I said, "Yeah, I think you should."
Sort of like in the old days, like a roadie joining the band. Now it's your website, man.
Yeah, electronic roadie.
Okay, so the bass player leaves, and that's the first member change. Would you say that there's like several incarnations, not just members in and out, but like whole different band manifestations?
Yeah. I'd say there's one, two, three, four.
There's four of them.
Four, yeah. And the first two, three, were the only stable members were me and the drummer. But he left over a year ago.
Okay, but he was with you a while then.
Yeah, long time.
Okay, my case, you know, when I got a new group of tunes, I just call it another band. But
yeah.
Were you using the same songs, and that's kind of why you kept calling it Now, even though the different... Or
yeah.
It's because you're the Meister.
Yeah, I've never been very good with names, band names. So it's laziness, but it's also, before I got the group together, I'd always had an idea of starting a group that wouldn't be one thing, either musically or members. So, like, if we do a gig, it might be songs, or it might be improvised, free improvisation, or it might be instrumentals or disco tunes or something, I don't know. So
not so tight around a concept, more like a collective.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I guess. Well, you know, some people have an idea of a band being such an image.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And maybe you're a little more pure about it being a musical thing.
Yeah. Although I would like a band, but you know, people have got other things to do, so can't.
What do you do? Just doing these pads, the pubs, or did you ever take it on tour?
We did a small tour, like around England, in 2000 or 2001, with this club called Cosmish. Which is like a kind of krautrock, celebrates the music of Germany in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys toured together.
So, yeah, toured with that club. And we've done a few dates in Oslo, Norway. We go back there every year and do some things there.
Why, there's a scene there?
Yeah,
kind of hooked
brilliant
up in.
Music.
Okay.
Really good music there.
I played there a couple times, but I was just there too little to learn anything.
Right, to get involved, yeah.
Yeah, which is a shame.
Yeah, and really nice people, good friends over there.
When you write the songs, What do you use, the guitar?
No, it would change with a track. Sometimes I play some drums. More recently, I've been playing some drums and then putting stuff on afterwards with what I've got in my head while I'm playing the drums.
Okay. And then when you make a demo tape out of it and you show the other cats, sort of like what you did at the beginning?
Yeah, yeah. Do that, and then they learn parts, or they put their own part on it. Although sometimes we do get together for group improvisations and then take stuff as a group and do that.
Yes.
I like doing that more, maybe, but we don't really have the chance to do that so often. So I just...
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, because I've been in London a few times, and what's it like to practice there, man? You know, I think of Manhattan, you know.
Yeah.
And I know the Sonics, they shared a pad with like 7 or 8 other bands. You go into a big building where you hear 50 bands playing at once. There's some of that in downtown L.A. But I guess I'm just so nuts and bolts about a band thing that I'm always thinking of that. How do these guys prac? Like in that town, getting around is such a nightmare.
Yeah.
Getting your gear around. Because, right, well, everybody, it's not really... I mean, we got a traffic problem, but... Damn, nothing like London.
For sure. Well, we get around it by rehearsing at home.
Oh.
Not particularly loudly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially the drummer.
Well, at the moment we don't have a drum kit. We might have like someone playing a snare drum and then someone else playing a cymbal.
Okay.
And someone else playing a bass drum. But sometimes a snare or bass drum might be electronic, so we can, you know, alter the volume on it, so it's not so much. But I'm moving in a week or two. I'm going to have a studio in the new house. So then I'm going to look for a drummer and do it with a bit more, I don't know, something, spirit.
That was always a dilemma when we were young, because we never lived in a house, so practicing with a drummer with me and D-Boom was really tough.
Yeah.
So we ended up, that's how we found drummers, if they had a shed, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they had a place where they were practicing. Well, in SoCal, if you ain't got a car, it's...
Okay.
this place. Although, there have been a couple people. Only up till a few years ago, Pat Smear didn't drive. Believe it or not, there's a couple. But Petra don't drive, which is so bizarre to live in this town.
Yeah.
But yeah, the way we are, our transit is really weak, so you gotta have that. But the practice pad, that was always the tough. Now, I've had the same one now for 22 years.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Yeah. Wow. Ever since, just when I was at the end of the Minutemen days. Before that, we would have to share with bands. But it was, and then when we were boys, it was always the toughest part. Was the practice pad. Yeah, it's totally right. So I haven't had to worry about that in a long time, and I'm really lucky. But I think about another band, especially towns like Manhattan and London. How do folks do it?
Yeah, every other place I've lived in, I've always had complaints. But here's been the first place that's okay.
Now, when you do the gigs, you got a set list of songs, or do you just call them out?
We work out a set before, unless it's an improvised gig.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it parts of the gig like a jam? Because I know you got an album with Damo Suzuki.
Yeah.
The singer, a second singer, Can.
Yeah.
Now, how'd that happen? I mean, I have a lot of respect for that man.
Oh, God, yeah, kind of great. I met him through the Cosmish Club.
That band you toured with.
Yeah. And when was that? 2002 or 3. And the guy who'd put the gig on, I think he told him where we lived. And he came round and we were practicing.
Wow. Because I heard he don't tour. He tours by himself and he just picks up people in towns and does the gig with them.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
I saw him do it with Omar in Australia.
Okay.
And it was great.
Yeah?
But yeah. And he, you know, he's singing. So he like leads off the jams with the singing stuff, or he lets them get a groove going and then jumps in, and it was really happening.
Yeah, it's unusual and bold as well. I think so.
Balls out.
Improvised singing is really hard, I think.
Yeah, but it was a really neat gig. I've seen Malcolm Moody too, the first Can singer.
Oh yeah,
he played Silver Lake with this band, MX80 Sound. They were from kind of the 70s. Maybe it was 6 or 7 years ago.
Right.
And I've seen Damo a couple of times. So he comes by your practice pad, and like, hey. You want to play a gig?
Yeah, it wasn't like that. We just hung out for a bit, had a cup of tea, and then he went off, and we stayed in touch by email, and I can't remember if he phoned me or emailed me and asked. He said he was coming to town to now want to back him up. He said, yes, please.
Wow.
Yeah. It was good fun.
And what's it like? You know, do you guys talk about it beforehand, or do you just go and do it?
Well, we always jam and improvise in our practice anyway, so we knew it was going to be quite natural for us. In practice, we did jam a few Can tracks just in case he wanted to do something. At the gig though, he just sang a bit of Hallelujah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Which was alright, but I'd broken all the strings of my guitar, so I just had one string left. And I had to somehow roar on the guitar with one string. Which was trying.
Character builder. And we call them character builders.
Yeah, exactly. We managed it. It was good.
Oh man! Now that's available, right? As a CD.
Yeah, that came out last year on TRI Records on a CD. Well, it's kind of highlights of the gig. It's not the whole gig was 2 or 3 hours long. So yeah.
It's like when I was a boy and saw Emerson, Lake and Palmer or something. Yeah. In fact, in those days, that was the best thing you could say about a gig, was like, wow, it was 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing was, it sounded just like the record.
Oh, fantastic.
That's what you used to say when I was young, you know. Yeah. Nowadays, nobody would ever say that.
No.
Yeah,
no,
but no. For some reason, the whole idea of it sounded like the record. It probably was the record.
When we did the gig, none of the tracks were less than 15, 20 minutes. Yeah.
When you mixed it, you kind of edited it up and stuff. Took snippets.
Yeah.
Now you got a new. So your first record didn't come out until
maybe, 2006.
Right. So 7-8 years after the band starts.
Yeah.
But then you started releasing things more recent, regularly.
Recently?
Yeah. Like you've got a new thing coming, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a new album on Pickled Egg. I don't know when, soon. I've got to stop faffing around with the mixing. And an EP on Discordance.
Record. Oh, wow. Different songs on both things?
Yeah.
Okay.
The EP is going to be a really short 20-minute thing with maybe 8 really short songs, tiny little things, and then the album will be more like longer.
Now you said there was 4 major kind of manifestations of the band.
Yeah.
Which ones are the ones that made it to the recording? Did the first one, or by that time it was totally morphed?
That would be number three, I guess.
Number three.
Yeah, from 2004 to 2006, yeah.
So you're the only cat left from the first two. Last Man Standing. But, you know, playing with those other folks, it probably had a bearing on you. Do you see the band changing as you play with different people?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And if we play any older track now with people who weren't around when that track was first, you know, alive, it's really different. And I guess it brings, makes it fresh for me anyway. You know, I don't, in a rehearsal, if we're going through it or a gig, I'm not going, not this again.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of genuine, you know. It's different than, like, can you imagine Kiss when they had to bring in the new member and decide which makeup? Like, it was a huge crisis, you know. Like, he can't be a cat. We've already had a cat.
Right,
so
yeah.
I think they
maybe he should be a pigeon.
They settled on raccoon or badger or something. So ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's not like that. The people don't come in to play this defined role. They come in and actually change.
Yeah.
The whole. So
there might be such, a violin player's left, but banjo players come in, or something like that, so the instrumentation would completely change.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so, like recently, we've become more electronic with machines and synthesizers, but also more acoustic with mandolin and bouzouki and cello and stuff like this, so we haven't had that before.
Wow.
That combination.
Mandolin, bouzouki, and cello.
Yeah.
And guitar and synth and drums. That's the current lineup.
Yeah, and bass. Yeah.
And bass. And the people rotate amongst them instruments.
Yeah, there's three singers. They mainly sing. And play some synth, percussion. Nicole, she plays a guitar as well. She's a pretty good guitar player. Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting way to make a band. Make, really, make music. I don't think I'd have the nerve.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know if I do. Yeah.
To hold sway, but then be so loose. That's a great quality. I love the sound of the band. It's trippy. You know, it's really got its own voice, even though it's gone through all these stages. And maybe because, yeah, you're the consistent thing. But get this CD and this EP coming out. Do you have plans forward to that? And you get in the pad with the new practice thing.
Yeah.
So, is there new plans in the works?
Hopefully going to play in Norway again in June. More recording. There's so many tracks to yet be recorded as well.
You mean you write a lot more songs than the band can really handle?
Yeah.
Or have been able to handle up to the moment.
Yeah, there's a lot, yeah.
Wow. I'm curious about songwriting. I mean, I've been doing it a little bit for a little while, but what gets it going for you?
Oh, I don't know.
Like you were saying, you get on the drums, what, you get a lick? That's a trippy thing to write songs on.
Yeah, I know. It's just a funny kind of experiment that I've been trying. But it will change. I used to do it quite a lot through bass lines, because I guess bass is my first instrument. I suppose a more traditional song would be on the guitar, strumming chords and that kind of thing.
Do you do keyboard?
Yeah, well, more synthesizer, like monophonic analog ones.
Yeah, because it seems
really
like
the double hand.
Yeah, there. It seems the traditional thing was to write songs on the piano.
Right.
Although I can't work it, I do mine on bass too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But what I usually do is I start with a title.
Yeah. That's unusual.
But it gives me focus, you know, because otherwise the song just gets all meaningless and becomes just... the problem I find from when I was more young was you end up just doing licks, you know? It's like track housing. And I have to have meaning to the thing or it's kind of ridiculous. Right. It's not like when you're young and you just... or younger, and you're just finding out about it, and so everything is like insightful and stuff. Now it's a difficult thing for me sometimes. I really have to have something that's almost non-musical to drive the song home.
And then if you have a title, does that mean you would write words first, or the title would make you think of a kind of sound?
Yeah, the title comes first, then the music, then the words, okay. Usually. But see, the music and the words now serve the title. I use the title to bring the focus. Sometimes it's just an instrumental, but everything... And this is for me, because a lot of people never hook up kind of the title with the music or the words. But in my mind, it does. It nails it on the ground. So I'm interested in other songwriters and how they do this stuff. It always amazes me. Some people, when they're just starting out, or some people have been doing it for years, I'm just always curious about how the fuck it can happen for them.
I guess it depends. Some people start out and they can play a guitar or piano, that like double hand, really well. So coming up with chords or arrangement is more... natural, perhaps, but because I didn't grow up learning an instrument. I knew arrangements because I did the drum machine programming, so I knew about arrangements and lengths, you know, okay, this is long enough, or this is too long, or too short, or whatever. But I didn't grow up playing anything. Instrument.
What about the subject matter?
Gosh.
Some people, it's a really important thing. For me, it don't matter so much because a lot of times you can't tell what it's about anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you listen to a Rocky Erickson song, what's he singing about? You
know? Right.
But I still like it. You know what I mean? Music is a trippy thing. I don't think you really have to understand it to like it.
Definitely not. No.
You know?
If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad.
And you maybe a righteous thing about it can be to just keep guessing at it. I mean, Stooges songs were like that for me. I never knew what the fuck they were about. You know, I couldn't really tell what he was singing anyway.
Right.
And even musically, sometimes it seemed like they were doing the same thing every song. Actually, it wasn't, but that's what I was hearing. But it put a feeling in me that was like, whoa, I'm into this.
Yeah.
So I think some things are explained or made too obvious, and what doesn't attract me to them, you know, so when I ask you about subject matter, it's not like it should have something like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, some of it does, but it would probably just mean something to me.
So you're not really trying to communicate things to other people?
Not really.
I mean, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not really bothered with a message as such. Although I think there is in there, but that's for someone else to think about.
The listener, right?
Yeah.
Okay, man. I want to thank you for talking to me here about the band.
Thank you.
Okay, started that big Now segment up with the interview with Justin Patton, the main Now Meister. Then Water, which is one of his first things. I think it was him on everything on that. And then the Zero Game, which was Now and Damo Suzuki, the second singer of Can. I think they made a record out of that. Talia just came.
Hi.
Say hi, Talia. We got full. Peak was supposed to come too, huh? But we got a full house and everybody brought music. So,
yay.
We had an interesting thing. I saw Brother Matt earlier. It's 2:20 in the afternoon now, but in the morning, I saw Brother Matt. We went paddling.
It was an adventure.
We went paddling, and last week was first time, and about halfway to the Angels Gate. This time we went all the way to the Angels Gate. Well, I kept going, but Brother Matt turned around and waited for me. This time, he went all the way. We got out the gate. We were out in the ocean. Brother Matt is very impressed by the calmness.
Beauty.
Yeah, got lulled by the beauty, and had the paddle resting on his legs, not in his hands. Yeah, because I got a picture. I took a picture of him right moments before it happened.
So you can break it down and analyze it.
Yeah, but I didn't take him in the drink. And then it just rolled over, right?
It went real easy.
And we were just outside the Angels Gate, and so the breakwater was right there. So Brother Matt went and swam and brought the kayak to the rocks. And then a small Coast Guard boat was there, and three Coast Guard cats.
They were cruising by.
Right. And they
minimal inconvenience for them.
Yeah, but you said it was. I went and paddled back through the gate and back to Cabrillo, but he said it was real tough. Hey, one thing about the radio, you can't be doing shit like that. He said it was hard getting in the boat, right?
Yeah, it's just I gotta
show his arm. Look at that.
They got a few of those.
Scrapes, because he had to get up. The ladder didn't go far enough down,
like
right?
Sitting on the Barnaby rocks.
That's right, because he was up on the rocks.
Can we go back up?
Yeah.
You got to get back on the horse if you get thrown, right?
All right, some more tobacco. How's hair candy? We've reached the end of the first hour of the February 2nd, 2008 Watt from Pedro show. Hold tight for hour two.
February 2nd, 2008, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Hawker Boat by Tobacco.
Trying to get a niche. love's hand. His face so soft and wondrous fair, the purest eyes and the strongest hands. I love the ground on where he stands. I love the ground on where he stands. True love's hair, of my true love's hair, of my true love's
อนุสติคนไทย sip happy, sip situla, phuen ơi, rau ma khan rap awai, prakat kong fa, sip thi pracha thi matai, pin kong kwan hai.พี่น้องของชาวประชาความรับรู้อยู่ตรงไหนไม่ยอมก้มหน้าไม่ให้อธรรมย่ำยีกฎที่มีทางต้นมะขามคำฟ้าเป็นสัญญาจากใจไม่ให้อธรรมย่ำยีกฎที่มีทางต้นมะขามคำฟ้าเป็นสัญญาจากใจ
Peaks joined us here and she brought a song. We just heard a contemporary Thai folk song, but due to the shortcomings of iTunes, they wouldn't give you the Thai.
Yeah, there's no Thai language. I'm sure you can, I could figure it out at some point, but I couldn't this morning with the Thai font in the iTunes.
Here, test that. Bob Lee, use your battleship voice.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
Yeah, it's working. You're just being all tiny. So the iTunes wouldn't give you the Thai right, and
right.
For you to...
And I didn't have time to research, but I think the song from the lyrics is the 25th anniversary of a... It's about... About the 25th anniversary of a massacre that happened in 1973 and 1976. In October, this is where a lot of race scare was going on, and there was a standoff in a university where, at the end, a bunch of university students were dragged out of the college and hung on the trees and
lynched.
Yeah.
By who? Soldiers.
Well, anti-communist, supposedly.
Like vigilante?
Yeah, like a really confusing time. There's a lot of mob thing going on. And for some reason, this particular event is not much remembered, other than this band who's doing songs about it. And every October, they would play somewhere to remind people, like, hey, you know, remember, like, a few hundred lives were lost then?
Yeah, and the band's called Caravan.
Yeah.
And why not Thai? Why is it in English?
I am not sure. There's a whole history behind this band that I'm not really clear.
Are they from them days? Is it an old band?
Yeah, it's the band themselves were activists. They were part of the socialist movement themselves, and they were living in exile for a while after that period of time when there was a lot of unrest, and they came back and all they were focusing on is to write music and tell stories, and they swear that they weren't political anymore, and they're just doing it for just remembrance of the event. Sadly, these days they're considered obsolete, and the style of music and the content of the songs is no longer hip.
Yeah.
So
do they still do gigs?
Just for symbolic, you know.
Symbolic gig?
Symbolic gigs,
appearances. Does that mean you really play?
Not really. I mean, they themselves...
You just show up.
Yeah, I became friends with the leader of the band, and who really gave up on the Thai culture in general because nobody is listening, nobody cares.
But he still lives there.
Yeah. So.
Just doesn't get out and play. That's too bad.
Not as a band. I don't think the band is together anymore.
Okay, and before that we heard... That's interesting. Talia picked the song before that. Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair by Nina Simone, mm-hmm. one of my favorite singers. Why'd you pick that one, Talia?
I just love that song. I think it's a beautiful song.
That's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into it. And before that, we had one Tiffany pick called New Eyes for a New World by Tremolo.
Right. Okay. You're going to want to know why I picked that. I picked that because I love the lyrics. And I love the idea of love being shaken in a snow globe to go all over the world. And I can visualize that, and I like the idea.
Cool. And before that, we had Captain America by Moist Boys. Bob Lee, you picked that, and you have... Well, you're going to be part of this unit a week from Tuesday, right?
Yeah, indeed. Tuesday, February 12th at the Troubadour. They're doing a show under the name of the Moist Boys West. Moist Boys was started about 16 years ago by Mickey Melchiondo from Ween, guitar player, and my friend Guy Heller as the singer. And the
Lambertville?
New Hope.
Yeah, that's right, across the river.
And they were working
Bob Lee's from Lambertville, New Jersey, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Moved out here in 88, just after Ween had gotten started, was starting to do local shows and put out a couple of cassette releases. And
they were doing gigs in the bedroom, right?
Yep.
These cats had gigs in their bedroom.
Yeah, I had met Mickey when he was about 15 years old. I was 17, and just starting to get into the hardcore thing, and I was very impressed when I met him because at the age of 15 he had a fanzine, he had a radio show on the WTSR, the local college station, and he had a band. And
wow.
Through the band he was able to, or through the radio show he was able to promote the band, and through his fanzine he was able to like write reviews of his own bedroom gigs. And it was just kind of an interesting glimpse.
So you wanted to play with him?
Potential for, you know, I used to see him around. I never did play with him for whatever reason. They at that time were doing everything themselves. He played all the instruments on the tapes, and they would, when they played shows, they would just set up with tapes and he would play guitar and Aaron would sing along with the tapes.
Whoa.
And that was just how they did it. It wasn't until about maybe their third or fourth album that I saw them with a band backing them up.
Now, this Moist Boys, how'd you get involved?
Well, Guy Heller, the singer, was in my first band with me back in 1985, 86. And
so your first band's in 86 and you come out here in 88?
Yeah.
You only gave Lambertville a couple years, right? Because Bob Lee comes out here and gets the Recycler and finds an ad for Crawl Space.
That's right.
He joins a Recycler band. Yeah. Just comes out here. No prospects, you know?
Balls
out. Like church bells.
In fact, I just...
Can you believe that? Because I've been through Lambertville. We conked there.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a town. I mean, there's towns nearby and stuff, but... To go, that's bold.
Yeah,
it was a lot to do, but you know, it seemed to work out. And
so you had a band with Guy.
It's interesting how it's coming full circle because I'm playing with Guy.
Yeah, right.
And then I just did some recordings with Crawlspace last weekend.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna start maybe doing some more.
And Crawlspace was kind of a jam. Well, not like a Grateful Dead jam band, but
they're back to doing songs now.
Oh, really?
Writing almost Velvet Underground like 60s pounding songs again.
When you joined, though, right? It was improvised. And
actually, when I joined, it was kind of Stooges-like. It was sort of gnarly, super distorted, kind of, amphetamine reptile-sounding band. You could have said it a couple of years later. Just sort of scuzz rock or whatever, Killdozer. And
yeah. Well, I saw them, and they were doing big, long space jams.
And then, yeah, it was space jams after that. And
One life
that
is
went on for a long time.
Many gigs.
Yeah, no kidding. You probably saw the Sonic Youth show.
Yeah. Yeah, but they would play around.
Mm-hmm.
God, one of the cats used to come to Pedro.
Jodeen. He's from Pedro.
He was from Pedro, right. He was in fact, some bands around here.
He's still in it today. I played with him and Eddie Flowers, the original singer.
Wow. Well, so full circle with that.
Yeah, it's been interesting.
You're circling the wagons.
Interesting spring. The guitar player from Fearless Leader was about to come out here and bring his multi-track recorder a couple of weeks ago.
Sarge?
Alan Clark.
Oh, wow. Oh. But isn't Sarge the main?
And Sarge is the main guy.
Yeah, the main.
But we've been, the band doesn't really exist anymore with everyone living in parts of the country, and Alan just called me up and was like, well, we're making a record, so be ready.
Stooges, we don't live in the same town.
Right.
Can do it. How many gigs are you doing with Moist Boys?
Just two right now.
Okay.
One at the Troubadour on February 12th, and then at Velvet Jones in Santa Barbara on Wednesday the 13th.
And what they do, they gave you the CD, and they said, learn these?
Yeah. I got the set from Guy. I've been, and...
Are you going to practice?
We are. They're getting out here a couple of days early, and I've been practicing, too, with Nick Oliveri, who's going to be playing bass. Mickey Melchiondo is not going to be playing guitar on these gigs. It's going to be Guy with his Texas lineup, which is Jeff Pincus from Butthole Surfers.
Yeah.
And
another bass player.
A guy named Stephen Haas.
So you're having two basses.
And then, well, I think Pincus is playing guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
Traitor. He's a great bass player.
Yeah, he is.
And he's got bands like Honky and Daddy Longhead.
Yeah, I think Honky is still going. I don't know about Daddy Longhead. But okay. Honky definitely still plays.
I'm a big Jeff Pincus fan.
Yeah.
I really like the way he plays.
Looking forward to playing with him. And Nick Oliveri.
Right. From Queens.
Queens and Caius. And Mondo.
And Caius. And Mata Hoople.
Mondo Generator.
That's the one he has now, right?
Yeah. We may do a couple of Mondo songs, time permitting.
Oh, man. But
I'm excited to do it. It's my first chance to play with Guy in 22 years.
Damn.
Made our debut at South Hunterdon Regional High School in March of 1986.
What was that? Talent show?
Cabaret.
Cabaret?
Mm-hmm.
What tunes you do?
Bad by U2.
Ooh.
Bad. Sorry.
Bad?
Yeah.
I thought you meant Badge by Cream.
Could have been better. We were the other band I played in.
Did you guys win?
Well, it wasn't a competition. But I have to say, the other band I played in that year with some other students did Summer of 69. And
Headley?
Brian Apps.
Oh, no.
Brian Apps.
And
sorry.
You May Be Right.
Pretty fucked up. With that
kind
of
shit.
And You May Be Right.
Who's that?
Billy Joel.
Oh.
Oh, that's a good one.
This was 1986. People, what can I say?
You know, we played this gig last night here in Pedro.
Uh-huh.
And the Pinhead Gunpowder,
mm-hmm.
You know about this band?
No.
Okay, they've been around 17 years and they've done 17 gigs or something. And the singer Green Day is in this band.
Mm-hmm.
And the people at La Conga at the door was telling everybody it was Billy Joel. Because his name's Billy Joe. Just an L. Just off my head. Same thing.
Was he in a Berkeley state of mind?
Yeah. Tony was into that first Billy Joe album. God, he used to play that. I mean, this was in the 70s. Piano Man? That's all I really know. He's just
he
playing piano.
He was the younger young man.
Yeah. Goes on and on and on.
A lot of words in those songs.
A lot of words in that.
If there's one thing you can say for Billy Joel, there's a lot of words in those
but
songs.
That was in his favorite song. That was the name of the album, but Tony's favorite song was Captain Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Which
it has
now
the word masturbate in it. It's a minor titillation at a certain age, I guess.
Really? Well, now it's like a slogan. 10. It's a marketing thing, right? For rum. Morgan. You say Captain Jack now, right?
No, it's Captain Morgan.
It's Captain Morgan.
You got a little captain in you?
Right, with the mustaches with the lipstick.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, you know. With guys, right? If you want a guy to get guys to drink, you got to throw some woman thing, either a mirage hallucination off the car.
Bend them over the table and ask them if they want a little captain.
Or like phony mustaches with lipstick.
Yeah,
it's the worst. Can you imagine these cats sitting in the room thinking this stuff up? Can you imagine? Yeah, brah. It's like the Spuds McKenzie, right? For Miller Lite. Can you imagine? The brainchild. Okay, so we haven't had a spin cycle in a while, Brother Matt. And so we're going to have a special one here because Bob Lee's going to join along on percussion.
Indeed.
Talia, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
Sing?
Maybe, depending.
Right.
Everybody can join in.
Right. Are you going to jam?
Yeah, yeah.
Think?
Are you going to...
Tiff, what are you not going to do?
I don't know what...
You're not going to yammer. That's what you... All right, let's bring it on. My honor and pleasure to bring Brother Matt, the spin cycle, and a cast of...
Whole crew.
Right. Do it.
Oh,
Right there was the jam, the Brother Matt Spin Cycle. Thank you for supplying the grooves for us to all come on. Although, you were playing very interesting instrument, Pete.
I was snoring.
I hope you had a good dream.
Speaking of snoring, Talia did a DJ. What DJ name did you settle on?
Talia.
Yeah.
Cool.
You like that one?
Yeah.
It works.
There's a Mexican singer, right?
Yeah, Talia. That's why. That's why I thought changing it.
And it was at Mountain Bar, and for support, we came up and was there, and it was late. Not late, maybe. 9 o'clock started. And I was about an hour into it, and I called. I woke up, Pink was there talking right in my face. So, were you talking to me a long time? Did you know I was conked?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was talking to your head, but I was actually talking
to
you.
Well, I was up against a bulkhead. It was that chair thing. Well, you rolled out those things to put your legs on. I knew that was not a good idea because they were out like this. So my head was up against the thing, and I just, and it's like a thing for women to make music.
Yeah, all female DJs.
Female DJs.
There's a female punk band.
Yeah, right. They wanted me to come see them play, and it was garbage.
They couldn't wait for that.
Yeah, it was Kid Kevin. He was at the gig last night, and he told me about that. Trying to. He said he was shaking me and shit, and I would not wake up.
No.
So I was. That's what he told me. Is they went and they played like six or seven songs, right?
And nobody shook you.
No, I kicked you.
You kicked me?
Yeah.
They were called No Ma'am. I think they were Pedro people, right? Our Orange County people who moved to Pedro.
I guess. Yeah. I know them as Pedro Band. They're really good.
Anna and Angela.
They're super cute. I mean, they're super, super cute.
No, ma'am. The shirt already is designed.
You already got the shirt? You got an idea?
And the guitarist and the drummer, they switch off, which is pretty cool.
Gabby was the drummer.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember her?
You know, I never met her, but I know about her.
Well, they were having gigs on 13th and Pacific, mm-hmm. and they all lived in that house, and some drunk driver was on the freeway the wrong way and killed her.
It's terrible.
And him and all the people in the car, it was horrible thing. About a year ago. I think she was 22 or something.
Yeah, I really am.
Okay, we're at the end of the second hour of the February 2nd, 2008 Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. February 2nd, 2008. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show, and here's part three of Jack Flanders in Dreams of India.
Funny. I always thought of naturally formed caves with the wise gurus sitting in the mouth. I never thought they actually carved out their own. Here I am, sitting in the mouth of a cave, looking down at the valley. The sun is setting. Shadows are moving in. Amazing country. In Rishikesh on the Ganges, they're ringing the temple bells to put the gods back to sleep again. In the morning, they'll ring the bells to wake the gods up to hear their prayers. Going to sleep is like dying. Sleep and dreams are like death. Every night we die, and waking is our birth. Who said that? I did. I could spend the rest of my life just sitting here. Not really, but it's a thought. Maybe the next life. Still, it is like I've returned home. The sun is turning the rocks to yellow. So, Kamala, tell me about your aunt.
Well, she's very strong-minded.
Oh, great.
You don't like strong women?
Well, it seems that's all I ever meet.
I don't know how to take that.
Oh, I do find that they're the most interesting.
We are.
Mm-hmm. So why does she need my help?
Well, actually, I only know a little. When she was young, she was fascinated by everything that came from the West.
My great desire, my fantasy was to go to London.
She wanted to get out into the world. India meant so many restrictions. The West meant freedom.
Oh, I see.
If I stayed here, I would have been married at the age of 12.
She was engaged to be married to an older man.
Very, very old.
Oh, an arranged marriage.
Of course.
It was unthinkable to go against my parents' wishes.
Except she did think it.
Mm-hmm. But she found that there was no one to confide in, except in her own dreams.
It came to me in the night, in my dreams. It laughed, it was amused, and it said, I will take care of you.
Take care of her?
It said it would help, and it did.
I did not have to do anything. Circumstances happened, and I was free.
What happened?
I don't know exactly, but the marriage was called off.
And who is it?
It is what I suppose you would call her imagination.
Well, what would you call it?
Jack, in this country, we know about the power of the imagination to conjure, to make real.
So who is it? Come, I'd like to know what I'm stepping into.
I don't know. She has warned me to stay away from you.
Stay away from what?
Jack, I don't know.
Well, why do I have this feeling you do know?
They say truth in her dress finds facts too tight. In fiction, she moves with ease.
Truth in her dress finds facts too tight. What is that, Charlie Chan?
No, Tagore.
You know, that sari you're wearing this evening, the way it's draped on you, it's stunning.
I think we should be getting back.
What does it feel like, wearing a sari?
Like fiction.
In fiction, she moves with ease. Uh-huh. India is filled with sadhus and saints and gurus and fakirs and everything you could ever ask for. Now, why does your aunt need me?
Because she met you. You gave her your card and you offered to help.
I never saw that card before. Now, where did we meet? When did this happen?
She told me it was in the 50s.
The 50s? In New York? What, the East 50s? The West 50s?
No, Jack. In the 1950s.
What?
I know it must sound strange
to you. Wait a minute. 40 years ago, I gave her this card. When I was, what, just a boy? But printed on the card is where I live now?
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. This country certainly has a lot of crows. Morning, crows. Oh. Good morning. Namaste.
Set the bird's wings with gold, and it will never soar in the sky.
Who is this?
Jack, it's Kamala.
I know. Is that the Tagore of the day?
So will you meet me for breakfast?
Down in the dining room? No. It's too early in the day to face all those tourists stuffing food in their faces.
You're not hungry, Jack?
I'm starved. I'll tell you what, Miss Kamala. We'll have breakfast in my suite, okay? Hello? Oh, Miss Kamala.
Mr. Flanders, it wouldn't be proper.
Look, I'll wear a white suit and an ascot. I have a wonderful view of the street. We can throw croissants down to the crows. Hello?
White suit and ascot, you say?
Yeah.
If you're not properly attired...
Look, I'll be properly attired.
In a white suit and ascot.
No,
then I'm going downstairs to the...
No, wait. I will be properly attired.
White suit and ascot?
Yes.
All right.
Half an hour.
Fine. Oh, I have another to go for you.
Okay, shoot.
I have lost my dewdrop, cries the flower, to the morning sky that's lost all its stars.
Run that by me again.
I have lost my dewdrop, cries the flower, to the morning sky that's lost all its stars.
It's very nice. How the heck do you tie an ascot? No, that's not right. Uh-oh. Darn it. I'm coming. Good morning. Well, it's a nice try, you must admit. You smell like roses.
Yeah, I see breakfast has arrived.
Yes, we have a window seat. We have the call of the crows, the scent of the sea. Croissant?
Please.
So, this morning, on to Bangalore and then...
And then a long, dusty drive to Mysore.
Does it ever rain in this country?
My God, we should be here during the monsoons. Then it rains all the time.
Well, when are the monsoons?
During the winter months, they travel around the country. Oh, it's going to be just terrible.
Well, how's the food in the south?
Well, the food is really quite different. They like to use lots of chili. The food is very, very hot there.
Oh, I like hot food.
You better watch yourself or your tongue will catch on fire.
Should I bring a fire extinguisher?
No, that's not necessary. There's always the yogurt.
What?
If your tongue catches on fire, you can always dip your tongue into a bowl of yogurt.
Oh, I'll remember that. Coffee?
No. Tea, please.
Oh, right. Of course. Kamala, tell me about your aunt. I'd like to make sure I'm ready for her.
Why? You don't appear to be easily dominated by strong women.
Oh, not dominated, but intimidated.
My aunt is very good at intimidation.
Look, who or what is the it you spoke about last night?
Her visitor? Well, it...
Yes?
I think it's best if she tell you.
Come on.
I don't really know the details.
Please.
Well, all I can tell you is this. When she was young, she was desperate to escape the confines of her arranged marriage, to escape India, to escape and see the world. So she made a pact with it. Jack, I honestly don't know who it is. It may just be her imagination.
But you don't believe it is her imagination, do you?
No, I don't. You like the South. The pace is much slower than in Delhi or Bombay. It's very, how would you say, laid back.
It's a beautiful country. It's So your aunt lives in Mysore?
No, no, actually farther still, in a small village.
I see.
She has a villa on a hill outside the village. It's very nice.
You didn't go to New York just to find me, did you?
No, I was looking for a publisher.
For a book?
Yes.
That you wrote?
That I'm writing.
What's it about?
My aunt.
How much have you written?
Most of it.
Can I see the manuscript?
No, I haven't shown it to anyone yet.
Well, it's about time, don't you think?
Jack, I've never written a novel before.
Well, neither have I. Is it here, in your briefcase? Is it? Come along.
Okay, Jack.
Thank you.
Enchanted place. Thank you.
We just heard Walls Come Tumbling Down by the Style Council. Tiff, you picked that, right?
Yes. I picked it because...
I didn't ask you why.
Okay. Good, because I thought I had to come up with something.
You said it was about the election, right?
No, but it's not like about the election, but it's just a political kind of song, and I just...
Where did I hear that?
No, I just...
I like the Style Council. I'm glad right. You played that one.
And then before that, when Chaya picked Patah the El Daoud by Alice Coltrane.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Answer for it.
Again, just another artist that I love and inspired by.
She's great. She passed away last year.
Mm-hmm. I never got to see her live. I wish I had.
She's intense. Mm-hmm. Lots of flutter. She's on the last... A few Coltrane albums.
Oh, really?
McCoy left. Yeah, okay. Like Live in Japan. Then we had Rivendell by Rush. Pete, you picked that because your favorite band is Rush, right? Well, you should tell the story of that. What was it about?
Well, in fact, what I brought today that I can only get Chusa to play... It's a song that actually changed my life, or the band that changed my life. And Rush was... That song I picked was a slow song, and And by then I wasn't really I wasn't good at English, and I was lost and everything, shifting culture. I was 15, and I found this band, and I loved the music, and I started learning English basically by reading their lyrics. And and yeah, so that's
you got
that's
a new, rather advanced vocabulary.
Yeah, Ayn Rand or
yeah, well, you know, I get fascinated with this, the reason why how the songs came about also, and I got a little bit into Ayn Rand. Yeah, right,
the drummer writes the words, right?
Yeah, and so the rest is history.
Who was not the original member, right? They had another drummer.
That's
right.
True. The first album.
Bob Lee knows about Rush.
Yeah.
You were the one that brought it up.
All right. Get the rope.
A Waiting Room by Fugazi.
Followed up Jack Flanders, Part 3, Dreams of India.
Hope that was an appropriately underground selection there.
Yeah. Dale Bozzio. Not Dale Bozzio.
Terry Bozzio.
And he had the whole thing charted out in a little book. He has drumstick. He's flipping the pages. Mm-hmm. He had about 30 cymbals, 25 toms, more than Neil Peart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was I was following Virgil Donati for a minute. Couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one.
Or Alex Klein.
Alex Klein had to do a double drum on one of the tracks.
He had a lot of drums and cymbals. So like when he was living in his ma's, mm-hmm. in the back of the pad, he had, you know, he, right, this is the drum room, don't have to move them. So it just grew and grew. I mean, he had incredible.
Yeah, the Buddhist.
I guess he had a gig kit, but then there was the home kit, which was just filled up the whole thing. It was massive.
The guy that blows my mind is Mike Portnoy from Dream Theater has what looks to be the entire Guitar Center drum section with about three different stools and different kick drum pedals and snare drums between each one and different tom and cymbal configurations.
You know what? I bet as the gig goes on, there's more stools.
And then when you go, I actually went to YouTube and found some solos, figuring like maybe I'd actually see some Carl Palmer type acrobat shit. You know,
or yanking the ship bell by the rope with the mouth.
And the guy's
what you're doing.
And the guy's just a blockhead. It's like worse than Tommy Lee solos.
Whoa,
it's kind of bad.
Who's the cougar guy?
Aronoff.
Can you hear him? Or Springsteen.
Weinberg? I think Weinberg's pretty good. That's like, those songs are like Spectre songs. That's what you need, that one.
You need Tommy. You need Tommy Ramone.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Speaking of Alex Klein, Nels Klein, we all got to say prayers for him because he's really hurt and he's got to get better. This pain has been growing in his, I guess started in his neck from whipping his head around at gigs over the years.
4 years.
And then coming down through his shoulder, into his arm, into his wrist, into his hand. Numbness, can't use the baby finger. We weren't able to do the Black Gang record this weekend. And we're going to have to wait for the first week of April now. But he's still going to try to do some. He just did a bunch of recording, right, Pete? You were at those.
Yeah, last week.
Some commission for an artist?
Yeah. A poet basically licensed a bunch, 33 paintings from Ed Ruscha. Foundation.
Ed Ruscha, yeah, right. 33, and there's a music for each painting.
Yeah, he commissioned Nels Klein to write music for each piece.
And 30 of them are like little, right? And then some epics.
But yeah, the whole underlining theme of the story where poetry will lead you to is this guy's commentary on the war in Iraq.
Right.
So it's quite interesting, and it's amazing how this whole thing come together, and I got the chance to witness part of it. And it's really, really mind-blowing stuff.
Now you conked, though. Huh?
And I conked on the playback.
Hey, you know, that's the best kind of support, right? When you come and support me, and you go there and you gawk.
Yeah. Which, you know, I'm there if you need me.
In a way, you're not getting in the way. In a way, it's just nice, hands off, brain off. So, Nels told me he was hurting just trying to give the band gestures.
Yeah.
You know, he's conducting them. Good band, though, he said.
Yeah, amazing.
Incredible players. And I know he's been, it's been weighing on him a long time. It had to get done this month. In fact, he's having these bonus mix. Is he done yet?
Yeah, mastered yesterday.
Yesterday, okay. Because he had these marathon mixing sessions to get it done, right?
Yeah.
And I just wish him the best. I hope he heals up. I know he will. Yesterday he started his therapies. With the Dr. Mike, the crazy man, right?
I don't know about.
Yeah, he told me the whole story of this guy. And then you know, I was also seeing a chiropractor.
Right.
Yep. He said that he's got blockages.
Yeah.
From this weird way of playing, which I know nothing about.
Just the way he plays?
Yeah.
Whipping his head around. Not the hands. It looks like he held his hands correct. He's got the thumb behind the neck.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So not tendonitis.
It's all the effect on the floor and everything.
Yeah.
So he looks down constantly. So his neck is in bad pasture for years.
Yeah,
so
bad pasture.
That's just kind of... Did I say it wrong?
No.
When he plays, to me, he looks real tense. To me, when he plays, he looks so, like...
Not joyful?
He looks so tense, like... No, because he's not just like, la 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 la, like,
like,
know,
him.
He's so, like, stiff to me. Maybe he just looks that way because he's so tall and skinny.
Maybe it's with the look on his face.
Yeah, he's so...
Yeah.
Is that why
focus,
he's
driven?
Look
or what?
Just real...
Like Marty Feldman?
Insert
attitude
here.
Yeah, he gets into it.
Yeah.
He throws his whole body into it, and I guess he's going to have to learn different ways to do it, which is a shame. But I think the body gets... less tolerant of that kind of thing. And my health is back, which is great. I have no sickness. Nothing in my lung.
Yeah.
So I'm all ready for this tour. It's going to be freezing. It's going to be freezing. But I'm playing every day, so I won't have a lot of time to get self-absorbed about it.
You done rehearsals before heading out?
Actors rehearse.
No,
I've never played with these two guys, Kramer and Sam.
Okay.
Wow. Now, the drummer on the last three I've recorded with, but first 11, but it's an improvised kind of deal. They have a big improv. You know, I did an interview with the Japan Times a few days ago, and the writer told me there's a big improvisational scene over there. And what was trippy about it was the audiences, the age range, from young people to people in their 60s, 70s, go to gigs. From jazz world and stuff, they bled over to the improv and then the young people from punk. So, we'll see. I'll be writing diary, I'll tell you.
Yeah, all right.
What's a character builder and what's a... You know, it's this very scary thing, but it's the way I get to see their underground, their littler thing, and then if I make... enough connects, I'll bring over my bands. You know, Black Gang. Listen, man. Second Man Jerry was at the gig last night. Speaking of Second Man. Oh, man. There was a lot of longshoremen there last night. That was great. I mean, they're not as old as me, but they weren't the kids. And then there was the kids, so it was this mix of punkers and longshoremen.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a trip. Now, these guys are... like, that's how old punk is now. You you could be a grown man in your 30s, late 30s, and come from hardcore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's what these cats were. They weren't like middle-aged guys or anything. But and then the new shift, these young kids. It's interesting. Pedro is getting its own scene. I guess it's had one, but I kind of like the way nobody's in charge of it too. Mm-hmm. There's hardly any hierarchy. Yeah, it's just it's kind of like Pedro.
Yeah.
You know, the mayor's 25 miles away, right, downtown L.A., with just autonomous. I think that's kind of healthy. But it was a trippy gig. La Conga upstairs. And
it's a good spot.
It's trippy. I would have never thought. I did a Banyan gig there 5 years ago, but I never thought that'd be a regular place to play. But it's interesting. Let's hear some more music. No, fuck it. I'm gonna play one of these CDs.
La Conga's had one of the biggest collection of clown paintings in the world.
Who does?
The strippy La Conga. Like those weird red skeleton clowns. It's really kind of a trippy thing. Their uncle or somebody was this famous clown painter.
Whoa.
They used to be in each booth, these weird clowns looking at you.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
He was some clown.
Yeah, the studies shown.
Yeah, what about clown pictures? Are they scary or what?
Yeah, studies shown that clowns are scary. Mm-hmm. Scary to children.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's a good song. It's called Awake at the Wheel. And this band is called Glory Tellers, but it's Jeff from Karate's got a new band, Jeff Farina. So here we go, about the Pedro Show.
Seven in the air, seven on the lawn, three face down, just two breaths gone. Didn't hear the shots, couldn't see the cops, just the turning of the locks. Candles spit the rain, carnations mark the down. Funeral I only read about. Had my own wake to start, suicides by cigarettes and maker's mark. Five were in the van, three thrown to the snow. Paper said I saw the road. The dried blood spent its red on my shoe. Now brown like any other filth or residue. The mother tried to call, but tears she dropped the phone. Doesn't matter, Jody said I wasn't home. Had my own eulogy to pen. Three states away, awake at the wheel again. Fumes, fake pine and paraffin. Barbecue, greens and hash. Lucky for the weeds, they don't breathe oxygen, and they don't seem to mind the trash. But what about the plan? What about the show? What about the van, St. Christopher in tow? What about the cross on the side of the road? Does it signify somebody I used to know? And paraffin, barbecue, greens, and hash. Lucky for the weeds, they don't breathe oxygen, and they don't seem to mind the trash. But what about the plan? What about the show? What about the van, St. Christopher in tow? What about the cross on the side of the road? Does it signify someone I used to know? Rust against the road, sparks and everything. Tied it up with duct tape and bass string. Probably gonna have to replace it. Look at all the time we wasted. Lighting up the load, forgot about last night. After all, I gotta get on with my own damn plot. No matter how we plan and pack up tight, something's gonna spill out on the highway tonight.
get in touch with players down front end. Best way to kick the habit, babe, you never start. I'll make fucking up my life into a art. I want it to be just like Johnny Thunder. I want to be like Johnny Thunder. You try one hand, needle in the other. We don't fall asleep in the limo, we will be laying like junkie piss. We will engage in
was third grade teacher with Flower Power. Bob Lee, you picked that?
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. We both played with that band, local band.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the members are having a baby.
Yeah, indeed. Dave and Laura.
Oh,
Dave,
yeah.
And Laura.
Cool. Before that, we had Johnny Thunders by a cat named Lil Beck. You know, nothing to do with Jeff Beck, maybe. And we started with Awake at the Wheel by Glory Tellers. I want to thank Bob Lee coming aboard. Talia coming aboard.
Thank you for having me.
Tiff coming aboard.
Thank you for having me.
Pete coming aboard. Brother Matt for always being here for me. Much respect. And this has been the February 2nd, 2008 Watt from Pedro show.
What way did the groundhog live?
It was. He didn't see it.
Uh-oh.
6 weeks. Keep your powder dry.